Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back as we continue now in this third chapter of the book of Genesis at verse 6. Taking into account what has already been said this week, let's take a closer look at the nature of Eve's sin. We start with Eve because the Bible starts with Eve, but do not worry, we will get to Adam as well. If you have access to your Bible now, open it to Genesis chapter 3 and follow along as I read the first part of verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And let's stop here. Let me pop a question. What New Testament passage of the Bible does this remind you of thus far? I will not be surprised if you say 1 John 2, verse 16. 1 John 2, 16. You are right. For context, let me read all of John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Near the end of the Bible now, at 1 John 2, beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. That was 1 John 2, 15 through 17. And here the Apostle John is firm. Christians are not to love the world, nor the things in the world. By this, he does not mean we should hate people. Absolutely not. Christ has sent us on a mission to love the people of this world, but not to love what they love, not to participate in their evil and sin. The distinction must be made. We love people as Christ loves people, but we do not love sin just as Christ did not love sin. We do not endorse and embrace what God hates. We will not want it to be said of us, the love of the Father is not in him, not in her. And then the apostle is clear in verse 16 what the world loves. He says three things are not from God, but from the evil world. First, the lust of the flesh. Second, the lust of the eyes. And third, the boastful pride of life. I'll say much more about this in a moment, but also notice verse 17 where John says the world is passing away with its lusts. But do not miss this. The one who does the will of God lives forever. There is the will of God, which we talked about earlier this week, friends. The point is this world and all of the lust therein will be judged and destroyed by God. But the ones who do the will of God, the ones who obey God now and live by his commands, wow, we live forever. Forever. Now that is a long time, isn't it? I should add, that is living forever in the perfection of heaven with God, not living forever in these imperfect bodies in this imperfect world away from God. This is a great passage, and we have come to it. Why? Well, once again, we take an excursion from Genesis to another scripture in order to shed some light on the Genesis account. And the reason we are here is because we want to compare 1 John 2:16 to the nature of Eve's sin in Genesis 3:6. So let's toggle back and forth between these texts, and I'll try to do this in a straightforward and easy-to-follow way. Genesis 3, verse 6 begins, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. And John writes about the lust of the flesh. After her conversation with the serpent, who embodies the voice of Satan, Eve begins to look longingly at the tree from which God has forbidden her to eat. And the tree begins to appeal to her flesh. "Ooh, this is so good for food," she reasoned. The tree that was hanging in the middle of the garden, the fruit that dropped from its branches, appealed to her bodily, physical appetite. Remember that she had permission, indeed great encouragement from God, to eat of any other tree in the whole garden in Eden. She was not starving. God had been so generous towards his daughter. But Eve acted now out of her flesh. In her sin, her flesh was now driving her to reach for the forbidden fruit and to eat it. And we too know what it is like to have lust of the flesh. We know the word of God, we know the will of God, but our mortal bodies have a mind of their own. We too feel compelled to reach for that which is not ours to have. Are you struggling with the lust of the flesh today, brother? What about you, sister? This is a part of our struggle, belonging to Christ and obeying his commands as we make our way in this sin-sick world. Do you feel like the Apostle Paul when he writes to the Romans, "Sin dwells in me, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" We relate well to this, don't we? Well, let us cling to Paul's answer. He then says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." How do we deal with the lust of our flesh? We run to Jesus and we seek his protection from sin and deliverance from lust before it consumes us. We confess to him our sin and spend significant time in prayer until the temptation passes. I commend Christ to you now, as like Eve, you struggle with reaching for that which appeals to your flesh, even though holy God has forbidden you to have it. You and I must not attempt to stand against sin alone. We must hide ourselves in Christ, our Savior. And this takes an intentional and honest effort to spend time in prayer with him. Keep watch over lust by dropping down on your knees in conversation with your Lord. Genesis 3 verse 6 continues, "The woman saw that it was a delight to the eyes." And John writes about the lust of the eyes. After her conversation with the serpent, Eve uses her eyes to lust after the fruit on this one tree. Merrill Unger says this was an indulgence of the taste. Henry Morris says this appeals to the emotions, the aesthetic senses within Eve. She appreciates its beauty. This element of her sin gets at her psychology. Eve's imagination now kicked into gear. As she stood there staring at the tree, she does not say a word, but she acts. This is reminiscent of Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as we think in our hearts, so we are." As Edward J. Young writes, "First reflection appears in the heart, then lust or desire, then overt action. Out of what is in her heart, disobedience to God, Eve acts. The woman saw that it was a delight to the eyes. This is the lust of the eyes." Genesis 3 verse 6 continues, "The woman saw that the tree was desirable to make one wise." And John writes about the boastful pride of life. Ah, Eve looks upon the fruit that this tree has produced, and it stimulates her intellect. It makes one wise. She wants to gratify the intellect. H.C. Leupold calls this an intellectual perversion. An intellectual perversion. This fruit, thirdly, appeals to the pride of knowledge, and knowledge related to the spirit of the woman. Eve is tempted body, soul, mind, and spirit. Her whole being is now wrapped up tight in temptation. She just has to have it. She must have it. This makes me think of James chapter 3 and verse 15. Let's apply James 3:15 to Genesis 3:6. James writes, "This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic." The tree perceived Eve was desirable to make one wise, but the kind of wisdom she sought did not come from God above, but rather from Satan below. An earthly, a sensual, and demonic wisdom? My, how the nature of Eve's temptation is the nature of our temptations. 1 John 2:16 belongs right beside Genesis 3:6. Do you see it? Do you understand this? I encourage you in your own time to read Genesis 3:6 alongside 1 John 2:16. Satan is still working the same way all these centuries later, and that is because this approach still works very well for him. Eve's temptation is our temptation. Adam's temptation is our temptation. Remarkable. Well, we still have not discovered everything there is to discover in this verse, so I hope you will join me tomorrow. It's Friday, and we will end the week together as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.